You're listening to the Michigan Talk Network, MTN, the home of more
when
talk
I'm walking,
now.
I stop my stuff and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite. I just might.
All right, as we roll on through this Monday, huge news week. I mean, all over with the Singapore summit, Michael Horowitz report, the IG report expected Thursday, Flag Day, which also happens to be Donald Trump's birthday. Big birthday week for the president. And here in Michigan, you've got redistricting, auto insurance, prevailing wage, weed, Medicaid, all of it. Kyle Malin here, editor and vice president of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
Smoke them if you got them, Kyle. Smoke them if you got them, yeah.
Right.
That's the, I guess, the Republican legislature did not make any changes on marijuana laws. I thought they might to kind of have a handle to control what's going on, but apparently it's going to the ballot.
It is going to go to the ballot. It'll likely be Proposal 1 on the November ballot, and folks are going to get the opportunity to approve a recreational marijuana scheme. It's going to be similar to what we have with medical marijuana, Steve, but there's going to be a big difference in that there's going to be a provision that will allow for a microbrew of sorts for marijuana, and that's the best way
what
to describe it.
What does that mean?
Well, it's going to mean that there's going to be like boutique marijuana growing operations. So, you know, like we got the Lansing Brewing Company, and they brew their own beer, and then you go there and you can buy their own beer.
So now you'll have the Lansing Bud Company?
Something like that, yeah,
no.
Where they grow their own, and they can only buy or they can only sell their product right there on premises. And that's where Republicans had really their biggest concern, is that they felt like these operations didn't have to go through the same regulatory scheme as, let's say, the big farms, where you would be able to grow and then sell them at, you know, one of the many dispensaries that you have here around Lansing. So it'd be kind of a different operation. And they were concerned about these microbrews, if you will, not being regulated as much. And they were hoping to maybe pass the medical or the recreational marijuana thing so that they could control these better, wrap it into the same regulatory scheme. It didn't work out, though.
Let me ask you this, Proposal 1 or Proposal 420, whatever you like to call it. Is it a foregone conclusion? I mean, you look at the experience out of Colorado. It was supposed to be this windfall for the state. All that money has, you know, didn't really materialize the way they said, and then they're spending a lot more money on other issues, if you will, in Colorado. So the net take on money really isn't what it was promised to be. Is this a foregone conclusion? Does recreational marijuana pass with ease in Michigan, or will it have a challenge?
Well, it's going to have a challenge, I think. You know, the polling right now sounds good, you know, 60% in support. But with ballot proposals, things can change pretty quickly, and you don't necessarily know who's going to get out and vote. Now, it's also possible it could pass by a substantial margin. You could have a lot of single-issue voters who've been waiting a long, long time for this day to vote for recreational marijuana, who are going to go out and vote and push this thing through. But, you know, it's still a long way till November. I mean, it's still, what, 5-6 months away? And a lot of things can change. You're already kind of seeing maybe this blue wave not being as substantial as it was supposed to be. Donald Trump's kind of found his sea legs as president. His numbers aren't as bad. The economy's going pretty good.
The numbers are actually good. The blue wave is receding quickly. It's evaporating, really. I mean, you look at the numbers now, Donald Trump has a higher rating now than Ronald Reagan had at the same point, or Barack Obama at the same point in the presidency. At this point, he's a couple of points ahead of both of those folks. Now, they had terrible midterms the first time, so maybe it's not a good comparison, but you look at what happens in Korea. If something big happens in Korea, that could certainly have a buoyant effect on the elections in November, and so many things could happen. You're exactly right.
And you don't know how much money's going to be put against this thing, too. I mean, it's also possible that we've got a substantial effort to try and defeat this thing at the ballot box. Scott Greenlee, who's over in Grand Rapids, is putting together an effort to try and stop this thing. The same Steve Linder, who is trying to put this marijuana thing through the legislative process so it could be tightly controlled, he may garner some resources and get the band together and try and defeat this thing. This could get defeated on two different fronts. So it all depends on what kind of money is spent on it, because you know, if it's put on the air and framed the wrong way, people could be turned off by it. They could think about, geez, do we, you know, we're just still trying to get through medical marijuana, and that's okay, but are we really ready for this? Is this really where we want to go as a state? I think those are some real questions that could be put into people's minds, the voters' minds. And no, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion at all. I would put the odds of it passing as more likely than not. But
you don't know.
I would put it at 60-40 right now.
The big money comes in, it could change that. All right, so on the prevailing wage issue, that issue has been put to rest. Prevailing wage repealed in Michigan after 50 years. So that's not going to be something we deal with this November. What are a couple of the other big ones you see on the horizon?
Well, redistricting reform is going to be the next big one. That one's going to get put on the ballot here pretty soon. That will likely be Proposal 2. And that is this whole idea that we're going to take redistricting out of the hands of the legislature. That's the process that's done every 10 years where they reconfigure the lines to match the population trends.
Sure, it's interesting to note, though, they call it voters, not politicians, something like that, except the fact that everybody involved with this happens to be from the far left, it seems. Interesting that it is very political, and to say otherwise is kind of disingenuous. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that the folks who have been on the short end of the stick when it comes to the way the redistricting process works right now has been Democrats. They have not controlled the pen, and so they've kind of seen these districts be drawn in a way that helps Republicans marginally, and they want to balance it out. So since they've been on the short end of the stick right now, they're the ones who are pushing this. And so, yes, this would take the process out of the hands of the legislature, create as a neutral of a party or a body as possible to go through and redraw the lines. It's a very complex process.
It is. What concerns me about this, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot going forward, is the fact when you put a chance to change the Constitution in the hands of the voters, that becomes a very dangerous place. Kyle, we got to leave it there. Kyle Malin, editor, Vice President of MERS Newsletter. Always very insightful. Kyle, thank you as always.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, Steve.
There you have it. Quick break. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.